Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Down the Dog with me, John Richardson.
And me, Matt Ford, although I thought we were doing the new casual opening.
No, well, because I'm very excited. Yeah, okay.
Shuffle up. Yeah,
well, usually it would be like, oh my God, I haven't seen you since like so long. But this is like, get in here now. Hey, look, get in here. Come here. You know Danny the Landlord's a Spurs fan? Yeah, you know Forrest? Yeah, the old fucker at the end of the bar. Yeah. He's Forrest. Guess what? Spurs have just beat Forest. So you join us, listeners. It's Sunday. It's 8 p.m. You literally are coming off the back of Spurs' 3-1 victory over Nottingham Forest. And Landlord Danny and Old Salt Ford just haven't spoken. So you're about to hear live reaction. You're about to hear the most begrudging. Oh, well done. Oh, no, I thought you guys were really good, actually. Yeah. Oh, my God. God, you deserve to stay off. So let's get there now. Landlord Danny, come up from the cellar. Come on.
Football!
Ford, do you agree? Football.
That's the cockiest he's ever been.
True or false football?
Swaggering around like a teen with a boner. My God. Look at yourself. Well done.
Thanks. And to you.
Look, the better team won. No question about that.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Yates is a prick, isn't he?
No, he's not. Why do you think he's a prick? Because he got punched.
He didn't get punched.
You get it? He got punched. What's
he was doing the old VAR sign on the floor. Little weasel.
He got punched. Oh, what? Victim blaming. This is
we've never sounded more like a podcast set in a pub.
Weasel.
This is just joyful.
Losing weasel.
Can I ask, have you had a couple of Beaver Towns?
I've had three beers and no more.
What spread out? Pre-match, half-time, post-match?
One at half-time, two pre.
Okay. Oh, you went back in time there. Okay. You made it sound like
I thought he was going to say, yeah. I was going to say nothing before, nothing at half-time, three after.
Larry Gitt.
And Ford, what are you, dry as a bone?
Smashed out. He's not on neck or. I had some red wine with my Sunday lunch earlier and then eased off as the day went on because I know I had to work.
Good lad. Like this. It's a people business,
this
isn't
guy
it? You can't be a dry landlord.
His bollocks around in a wheelbarrow. I've never heard him sound so alpha. Christ. Oh. I like it. I like alpha car.
So we turn to the BBC, as ever famed for its impartiality. Tottenham returned to the Premier League's top four for the first time since February, if you can remember that far back. It's April the 7th, for the first time since February, by beating them, the Nottinghamshire Tree Boys. The hosts opened the scoring inside 15 minutes when Forest defender Murillo diverted Timo Werner's cross into his own net. Forest level 12 minutes later. I'm reading this for the first time through Christopher Wood, who finished off Elanga's cross, but centre-back Mickey van der Ven restored Tottenham's lead in the 52nd minute with a, and you can verify this or not, you can challenge the BBC, they're describing it as a thunderous shot.
Yeah, verified.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, no BBC bias there. From the edge of the penalty area that found the top corner, six minutes later, Pedro Porro netted a third for Spurs, hammering a Madison's pass, which left ailing Forest, who deserved to be relegated, teetering above the drop. That's what it says on the BBC website there.
I just want to bring back old Boner Boy over there.
Old Big Balls.
Old Big Balls. Danny, talk to me about the Forest fans.
Very good.
Oh, you knew that as well. We do that. Yeah, we made a lot of noise, though, didn't we?
And look, I was wearing the exact
shirt.
Who
gives a
shit?
You're going down.
Got our third kit on. Look at that.
3 minutes in, start singing you never win a European Cup, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Champions of Europe, you're never seeing that.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, classic. Okay, I'm just going to check the Leeds result this weekend.
Fuck you and eat shit. Let's move on.
Lost 2-1 to Coventry. Coventry boost playoff hopes by beating Leeds. Should we verify this via the BBC?
Oh, you are just... How dare you use my own work against me?
Just want to find it when they talk about Leeds. Archie Gray was denied early on as Leeds looked to start the front foot. Leeds weathered the storm and managed to gain a grip on proceedings of the first half. Went, oh, Patrick.
Does it talk about the fans that sang the most?
No.
We are the champions of Europe. Any of that?
No.
This is a pub football podcast, isn't it? This is just a couple of leery old salts. It's what we're known for, isn't it? A couple of like troublemakers, reformed hooligans.
Do you know what they call this on the streets?
Mm-hmm.
Geese pod.
Geese pod, absolutely, yeah. You were down a dog with them couple of fucking naughty boys.
And three alphas.
I think we love to talk about the games we've been to, obviously. We like to say, oh yeah, I was fucking down there, mate. Yeah, you're reading about it. I was down there.
Oh, we went to Coventry away. I mean, the train was terrible. Their fans are awful. Sort of thing I can imagine you saying.
I'd say the last couple of Leeds games I think I've been at, and I've been happy to talk about that. And you have to, if you're an honest man, you have to put the other side and you have to say, I didn't follow any of this game because at the point Leeds were losing 2-1 away at Coventry and really absolutely throwing away Ipswich's defeat at Norwich that left the gap wide open for us to go top of the table with 5 games left, I was on set at blankety blank with Rusty Lee.
Oh, going to Barbados?
Yes, absolutely.
Is she still alive? Well, she must be.
She was alive and kicking, mate. That would have been, yeah. If they'd have just, we opened the set up. It turns out we left her in the chair from the last series with Wogan.
Oh, she's only 74.
She was on fine fettle, let me tell you that. She led a sing-song. There was a, and I had the same on a panel show called Act Your Age, which was 3 different generations of comics, the up-and-comers, captained by that up-and-coming young scamp, John Richardson, the established guard, captained by Lucy Porter, and the old guard, captained by Roy Walker. And sometimes there'd be a technical problem. And let me tell you, well, I'll ask you, which generation do you think, in the event of a technical fault, was happy to get up and deliver half an hour of material?
And this was a while ago, right?
Oh, this was a good 10 year back.
I think I remember you doing it. I'm going to say...
Absolutely.
I'm going to say you, the young un.
You couldn't be further from the truth. I would say the time the microphones went down and Tom O'Connor stepped up, I think that was one of the happiest moments of his career. And you could see the little look over the shoulder to say, you lot couldn't fucking do this, could you? That's a generation that are happy to deliver. And let me tell you, when there was a fault on set at Blankety Blank, Rusty Lee first went in with a sing-song.
But then a sing-song's good, isn't it? Because that's accessible.
Fantastic. I was straight looking at the floor manager. Are you taking us off or what? Can I go back to my dressing room? Because there's football on. I didn't finish my roasted cauliflower and tomato sauce. Rusty Lee, no. We steer this ship together.
Do you ever push back? You know, when an older comedian and an old bull might get in your head and say... see that there laughs. You ever go, fuck off?
No, because I didn't have the confidence then. And now I do have that confidence. I am no longer an up-and-comer.
I did once now.
Did you?
At the Comedy Store. It wasn't quite that generation, but it was an older comic on the circuit before we recorded live at the Comedy Store. They were sort of working their way through all the other comedians, trying to intimidate them. When he came near me, I said, don't try any of that on me.
And
he went,
nice.
I said, I know what you're doing. And he sort of went, oh, fair play. And just walked, basically admitted, didn't go, well, I don't know what you're on about. I'd seen them intimidate two or three other people.
You went out there and you died on your ass regardless. And I admire you for that. Would have been easy to smash that gig after that and have that as some sort of hero story. But you had the good grace to go and deliver the sort of mediocre performance that justified that comedian's work.
Thank you very much.
Name and shame?
We'll bleep it out, won't we?
Name and Shane Ritchie?
Oh, no.
No.
Shane Ritchie was a gentleman.
Oh, have you met Shane Ritchie?
I was on the one show with Shane, yeah. Good geezer.
Of course you were.
Yeah, nice guy. Very charismatic. A good laugher. Good looking fella, isn't he, Shane Ritchie?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Still got on, I think.
So let's wrap up the game that's just happened in the game week. I don't know about Leeds. I still worry about QPR away. I still worry about Blackburn. I wouldn't be surprised to see us still finishing the playoffs. But I've said it all season, and you can't change your mind when you suddenly go top. I think playoffs, given where we started, given that we gave everyone a month head start, we basically changed our entire squad. It's been just an insane, you know, there's going to be four teams who every season in the last 20 years would have got promoted. It's just a bonkers season. If you finish third, fuck it, whatever. I hope we don't. However, Nottingham Forest, off the back of that defeat, how far ahead are you of Luton now?
It is merely goal difference that is keeping us.
Talk to me about the remaining six games.
And that is getting thin. So we're tied on 25 points. We have a four. We're on minus 16, they're on minus 20. So that can, that, as we all know, that can turn around very quickly.
Stay up or go down?
I think we'll stay up. No question. We're staying up.
Good. Lovely.
No question. Hope we're staying up. No doubt.
Have you listened or read Bravo to Zero by Andy Murnab, as was your homework?
No, you were meant to listen to it.
No, we were both meant to listen to it. That's what a book club is.
No,
book club is
one
person who reads a book and then tells people about it.
I told you that you listened to this one, then I listened to the next one. That's how it works.
No, whore shit.
Landlord Danny.
Landlord Danny.
Both.
What? I'm sure I said I couldn't.
Listen to a live climb down. Wonderful to hear, isn't it?
Oh, I'm staying up.
3-1 defeat for Forest this afternoon, and now a 1-0 defeat. That, would you describe my victory there as a thunderbolt?
Absolutely, yeah.
It'll suck up.
I even sent you bits to try and... What did you think when I was sending you bits and saying, oh, you're going to love this?
Oh, I just thought you were really enjoying it and that you were going to read it out. And I was like, I was deliberately avoiding it because I thought you were going to tell us all about it.
Okay. Would you want to defer a week then?
I've completely genuinely misunderstood this, and I'm sorry. And the hot fear of not having done my homework is now visiting me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad, but I genuinely misunderstood, sir.
I
understood my homework, didn't I, sir?
Will you listen to it this week if I give you another week?
Yeah, I'll download it on Audible.
Okay.
Feels
but
like
you have to. I thoroughly recommend the Spotify Premium, narrated by Paul Thornley.
But is that Paul Thornley or Paul Thornley?
Paul Thornley.
So Thorn's not a middle name.
Thornley, as in Paulie. He's Paulie, he's Thornley. He's got a thorn in his cock. It's Paul Thornley.
Have you ever had a thorn in your cock? Email us, hello@downthedog.com. Because I tell you what, people stick peanuts down there. I've been told that by people working in A&E.
People? How many?
Members of staff.
Yeah, but how many people have told you this? One person has told you that. You haven't had several people. Right, so one person.
My mum.
Okay.
Call my mum a liar.
No, I'm just saying when you said I've been told this by people in A&E, it makes it sound like you're up and down the country and people are saying, we've had another peanut cocking. Your mum's told you a story. Yeah.
And then any hospital you're in, you'd say, do men come in here with peanuts down the dick? And they'll say, yes. Yes, it's quite a frequent thing. And not just peanuts. All sorts of things.
Why peanuts?
Well, it fits. You're not going to get a car down there, are you? Try and get the new Dacia Duster.
Is that a thing? Is there a pleasure in that?
John, there's pleasure in all sorts of things. And I'm telling you, people like to
put... I'd stick an all sort down there. Of course I would.
Well, I mean, you're talking to someone who sticks a tube down there multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm. And is allergic to nuts.
Stick a peanut down my dick. You know, I mentioned the Dacia Duster there in passing. I loved the Ralph Ineson voiceover, the new Dacia Duster range.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never bought a Dacia Duster. I don't own a motor car or any other vehicle. But that would have almost got me close to buying one. Is that sad?
Yeah, I must admit, it's one of the voices that stuck in my head, the Dacia Sandero.
The new Dacia Duster range. I also like the way Sean Bean says, auto, you're our priority.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Who's soppier, me or you?
That's a very good question. Indeed. I think you're soppier, but I think I'm more depressed.
Okay.
I think I weep on a fundamental level. More, I think I don't agree with being alive, and that makes me sad. But I think you're a fundamentally happy person who's apt to cry seeing a three-legged dog.
Yeah. Or England win.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I've ever wept through happiness.
I think I tend to weep through happiness. Although now, not to bring the mood down, but I can't remember if I told you this week, but if I read in a book... Oh, no! I'm reading the book, the autobiography of John Ilsley, the bass player from Dire Straits. So that's kind of a book club.
Of course you are. So not only have you not read the book you were asked to read, you have chosen to read the biography of the bassist from Dire Straits.
Okay, when you put it like that, I'm bang out of order, right?
But, yeah.
I didn't realise I needed a book. I'm a fan of Dire Straits. Come on. I mean, what other conclusion was I supposed to reach? So, but when they say, that he was talking about a producer in there they worked with who died young, and I was just like, can't read that. I was just like, no. I started welling up about a guy I didn't know. When he said, taken from us too young, and I found myself welling up, I was like, oh, God.
And is that since your...
Oh, yeah. Since my brush with a reaper.
Okay. I'm the same with bad things happening to kids since we had a kid.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just generally... avoidant of bad stuff now. I don't need to watch films where people get their legs broken.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like that. I think the news feels different now, and I think the way we talk about the world feels different. And I think a lot of people just avoid news and bad stuff in general.
That said, I have now downloaded Bravo 2.0, narrated by Paul Thornley on Audible.
Oh, mate. Okay.
It's got a 5-star rating after 3,055 ratings. So, John, you obviously have a head start on this. How far through the book are you?
I'm not going to tell you because I think it will
lead the witness.
Influence our debate for next week.
That's tantalizing.
So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it there and we'll talk about it next week.
Okay. So, the next thing I have to ask you is, you have been abroad, haven't you?
Haven't we? I have, yes. I went to France. I don't know if you know it. Small country. You can fly to it.
I love
it. You can drive to it and get a choo-choo train.
Great place.
You can't ask any more, can you?
You can't.
The adaptability of these people.
I'm going to ask a bit more. So you went to Lille.
Lille, oui. Lille, Europe.
The idea was you were hoping to go and see Marcelo Bielsa play in a friendly.
Did I wasn't hoping to see him play. No, that would have been a big ask at his age.
You know what I meant.
Yes, his Uruguay, the Uruguayans were playing Côte d'Ivoire,
Ivory Coast,
to the, well done, you
Thank
flew
you
him as well, at Lens. Lens, smashing stadium. Reminded me, put me in mind of Villa Park.
Oh, a grand old thing. Let me have a look.
Big boy, four-sided, bullshit, cracking stadium. And I tell you what, they must have had, I reckon it seats, I think, I Googled this in the run-up, I think I'm correct in saying you could fit the entire population of Lens in the stadium and have seats left over. I think it's a bigger stadium than the city which it serves. And
it says it has a capacity of 38,000.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, there must have been, 8,000 in there. It was flat.
Oh, dear.
It was a flat atmosphere. But that did mean that you could get right behind Marcelo Bielsa. And I don't mean that in a sort of supportive sense. I mean, you could physically just walk down to behind the dugout and repeatedly shout Marcelo until he looked at you. But he was very reluctant to do, I have to say.
And did he look at you?
He did look at the very end of the first half as he was making his way to the tunnel. And he looked like you would look at a sort of partner that you'd left 20 years ago who turned up at the pub you work in and just shouted your name across the bar.
So what did you shout?
I didn't shout anything. My friend Dan, who I was with, repeatedly shouted Marcelo until he looked and looked up to find us both wearing the same Leeds United shirt from our promotion season. And let me say this, I haven't changed my opinion on him whatsoever. I think he's a wonderful man. Those years are the best years there's ever been to be a Leeds fan in my lifetime. As a match-going fan, it was the very minimum you could offer. It wasn't hostile. It wasn't like he didn't flip the bird or anything, but it was the very least kind of, oh, yes, there you are. Why are you here? Kind of.
Okay, so with a level of disdain, I think.
Not disdain. It was just, he's at work. Do you know what I mean? It's like we knew him at Carphone Warehouse, and then he's got a job at, like, he's at Lloyd's, and we've got called to cashier number 8, but he's on 10, and we've just banged on the glass, shouting his name, and he's looked over as if to say, I was at Carphone Warehouse for 6 months. Like, I'm trying to serve a customer, I'm trying to talk about a mortgage.
So he wasn't angry at us. You can't come to terms with the fact that he basically looked miserable to see you. You're trying to convince yourself you didn't piss him off.
Do you know what it was? I think he was embarrassed for us. I think he was saying, guys, not like this. I'll come back one day. Why are you here? You know, like, do you remember when we lived together in Surbiton?
Yeah.
And we put on a Christmas party and we told a lot of people it was happening. And this sort of 90% of sensible people just didn't come. 10% of people turned up thinking it was going to be good. So I would say he looked at us the way we looked at the people who turned up at our party, as if to say, oh no, it's shit.
I stand by that.
He was saying, no, we're 1-0 down to Côte d'Ivoire. Why are you here?
We had a great time at that party.
We did, of course. We got shit-faced and we didn't have to get an overground and 2 tubes to get home. But the people we invited, I think, had every right to be upset.
You're making it sound way worse than it was.
It was a shit party.
We had catering, as in, you know, we cooked. We put food out, didn't we?
Yeah, probably some mini pizzas.
Punch bowl.
You made a punch that I believe we called the devil's piss.
Yeah.
It was exactly
It was too strong. It was bad.
If Rick Mayle and Aid Edmondson had thrown a party in their flat in Bottom.
Yeah.
It was exactly like that. In a conservatory in Surbiton, drinking a punch called the devil's piss.
Look, everyone who came had a good time. We had a good time.
No, I don't think that's true.
Well, that makes me sad because my memory of it was actually very positive. And now you're saying that everyone turned up and had a terrible night.
No, I'm not saying that everyone had a terrible night. The three of us that lived in that house and didn't want to go out had a cracking time. I don't think it's fair to say that everybody there had a good time.
I was dressed as Santa. You were dressed as Mrs. Claus.
Mrs. Claus.
Our other aspect, Danny Buckler was dressed as a Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
It was great.
What, it wasn't New Year's Eve, was it?
No, but it was a good.
We stole a good sort of Christmas Saturday from people, didn't we? Let's be honest.
I disagree. But your time at this stadium, which I'm just looking at, it's hosted football matches in the 1984 Euros, the 98 World Cup and the 2016 Euros, and the 99 and 2007 Rugby World Cup. So it's a stadium truly on the international stage. Did any of the other fans there say, oh, Leeds United, or anything like that?
I had a very awkward conversation. I say my French is okay, but my French is at a level where you know very much know I'm English. So nobody's like, oh, there's a French guy, let's just chat. So to a French person whose English is at the same level, there's that weird, I start talking and they think, as a favour to this man, let me shout the 7 English words I know. And I think, no, I'm a guest in your country. Please allow me to shout the 7 French words I know. And so then we just shout very basic vocabulary at each other. So there's a bar next to the hotel.
What were you shouting? Leave means leave.
Absolutely. Sortir. Nous avons sorti.
Lovely work.
So, as an away day, I've got to say, fucking brilliant. Loved Lille. Met a very kindly Manchester United fan at St Pancras Station who told me that Lille was a shithole and I should watch myself.
Oh.
While I was out there. You've got to be careful out there. It's a shithole.
Oh, man.
So I was only slightly tense. The Monday night in Lille was absolutely wonderful. Went to a few bars. It was just about not wet enough to sit outside. French people sat inside. The Englishman who suddenly felt like he was basically death in Venice sat outside smoking a gitane, watching young people move about. Lille's a beautiful city. Absolutely loved it. It's a wonderful city. I'd go there again in a heartbeat. And I will.
I'd like to go with you.
Yeah, I'd go there again. Well, it was Lille-Lens, which I think filled the stadium and is quite a big match a couple of days after the shit game that we saw. But then it's a very simple half-hour train journey from Lille to Lens. French train network is absolutely fantastic. Clean, on time, double-decker train, so you can sit upstairs like you're driving a bus, but on a choo-choo train.
Why don't you just bloody live there then?
Well, what if I was welcome?
You like the trains? You're always slagging this country off. Why don't you go live over there then?
You come out of the station, hotel right over the road. We've gone there to see El Loco. There's a bar called La Loco. I was like, this is fucking fate.
It's a sign.
They sell a beer that is of unknown strength. I'm going to say it's anything between 5 and 7, judging 6? From the fact I don't remember getting back to the hotel. Do you know, it's one of them. It could be 5.2 and you just are a lightweight. It could be 7 and you haven't eaten all day. I don't realise. I was hammered by the end.
5.2 is strong. Sounds like you're still burping on it.
I'm still struggling. Yeah, it's still in there.
It's still battered.
So anyway, in there, a lot of Lens fans. So I saw a guy in a football shirt. Just assume he's going to the game as well. Of course he isn't. That's like bumping into a guy in a Forest shirt the night that Costa Rica are playing Bolivia at the City Ground and assuming he's going to the game. Of course he fucking wasn't. So basically just walked up to a guy having a pint with his family and he was like, Leeds. And I went, oui, Lens, Bielsa. And we shouted those words sort of alternately at each other until I just shuffled away from his table.
How sweet.
It wasn't a good exchange.
No, and I imagine as someone who prides himself on showing off his languages
when
he's in England, that actually having them tested in the actual countries was probably, I imagine, such a dent to your pride that, John, you wept again.
I mean, you're talking to a man who goes into Café Rouge and tries not to speak English. Has to be reminded, you're in Leicester, mate. Just fucking sort yourself out.
Does Leicester have a Café Rouge?
Le Merlot, c'est bon or non? C'est meilleur que le Malbec?
I'm going to Google Café Rouge Leicester. I don't think it's got one. It has, no, permanently closed. It was
I
on
shut
Pine
it.
Cross.
C'est fermé. I think that's what I said. Fermé, c'est shithole.
Fermé le café. Avoir Café Rouge.
I don't mind a Café Rouge, but I'll tell you what, since I went veggie.
Yeah. God, did you hear that?
Oh, what was that? Was that your guts?
Could you hear that?
That.
Yeah.
It did sound like.
Come on, my stoma roll. That was my stoma roll. I think the stoma is the hole, isn't it?
Good volume.
Yeah, yeah. Disgusting. Sorry about that. Nothing like you can't control it like you can your bum hole, you know?
You stick a finger in it?
No, you can't do that. You don't want to stick anything in there, remember? Don't finger or fuck your stomach. Don't try and put peanuts down there or anything.
Can you feel that's coming or does it just happen?
Comes out of nowhere. Okay. Comes out of nowhere, John, out of a clear blue sky. And it could be in any, usually in polite company or at the most inappropriate time. I'm getting used to this, of course.
Well, let me be the first to say don't apologise at all.
I feel I should apologise to the listener because it's an unpleasant sound and it's an unpleasant thought. But thank
listen,
you for
mate,
being
you've
so
been
kind.
Through a lot. If you want to make that noise on a podcast, you fucking make it.
I do kind of forget, you know. I kind of think, like, I'm still learning to walk and that. But I do kind of think, oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't I just? Funny that, isn't it?
Well, you should be making that noise on Graham Norton, as far as I'm concerned. People need to know.
What, that I've got a stoma?
Well, that those noises are involuntary. This is all part of breaking down the taboos, isn't it? It's not like releasing the sphincter and choosing to make that noise.
Consider the ball in Norton's court. Now, we have talked... Well, this... We've got a breakthrough here, John.
Yes, please.
We've got a lot of messages about boxed wine.
Oh, yes.
Wine,
okay.
Breakthrough.
I'm listening intently. Le Vin du Box, as we call it in Lens.
Whereas you barked at some locals in
Van Carton.
James from Bromley says, after a gift from my wife at Christmas, I'm happy to report boxed wine is the answer.
We always thought yes. It started.
He says, and I'm going to get this, I'm not going to read out the full thing, but it's an Italian organic wine, one glass or seven, no problem. It's tasty, it's fruity, it's a little glass of red nectar, and it's vegan friendly. The only issue is price.
Okay.
I'm going to find out the price, John.
Please tell me. Well, tell me, let me guess, tell me how many glasses I'm getting, and then let me have a stab.
I'm going to tell you
liters.
Volume. Okay, so it's 2.25 litre.
So what's that? 750 a bottle, so that's three bottles. So I'm going to say, let's say it's a £10 bottle, £30, some discount for the boxing, £21.99.
Fuck. Do you know what? Your working out was exceptional. Your answer, crap.
£27.99.
You were getting there. You were getting there.
Yeah, okay. It's well, really maybe I've good. Overly discounted because I think the box is a big step down. But actually what they're saying is you're getting three bottles because then it'll last a lot longer. So you're basically paying
$27.99.
For three bottles of wine.
Bottles of wine, 2.25 litre. There's something about 2.25 litre. That could be a, do you think, a French hip-hop outfit?
Yeah, you'd need it to be a very round translation of something else, wouldn't you? But for me, what you've got to look at is, if I want to drink a wine in that price mark and I'm going to buy a bottle, drink maybe two-thirds of it and then throw a third away, how many bottles across, what's that box going to last, 3 to 4 weeks?
Oh, yeah. How long do they
Eventually, if you're buying five bottles of wine and only drinking three bottles of wine worth, that is actually you're saving 25 quid there, aren't you?
John, you're absolutely spot on. And also what you could do is you could pass it around the neighbourhood. You could go to your neighbours and say, look, no, why not?
No.
Where's your community spirit?
I like my neighbours as much as the next man. I love to know what bin's going out. I love to know you're going on holiday and I'll keep an eye out. I don't want someone turning up on a Thursday afternoon and saying this box is on the turn. That's not what I'm looking for in my neighbours.
No, fair point. Anna has been in touch. Got to get you. I tell you what, testify. You've got to remember whether it's Ann or Anna. It's very important.
It is important. It's people's name.
Yeah. Be like someone calling you Jim or coming me Mark. Come on, mate. Come on. So Anna's been in trouble. That was a bad cough. It didn't do the job. If anything, it made it worse.
It just wasn't the noise you needed after a rant about the importance of getting people's names right.
No, or about the peanut down the dick chat.
I'm going to have to Google that later. I can't believe people are doing that.
My mum told me.
I'm not calling you mum a liar. I'm not calling you mum a liar. I'm just saying, rather than assume off the back of that anecdote that there is a nationwide pandemic of people sticking peanuts down their penis, so perhaps your mum encountered one individual who was going through a bad time. I think if most people heard that anecdote, they wouldn't say, you know, everyone's sticking peanuts down the penis, don't you? I think they would say, my mum had a very weird thing happen to her in A&E.
No, they'd say, I heard a story about some guy stuck a peanut down his dick. I can see a cop saying it in American show. I got a guy here sticking peanuts down his dick. That sort of thing. Yeah. So, hi, yeah. Matt and John. Love the pod. I'm so glad Matt's recovering well. Thank you. Anna, we've just been chatting about this.
Did you get any alternatives of that?
I've forgotten. What do you mean alternatives?
Well, you know, like, hate the pod. Hi, Matt and John. Yeah, hate the pod. Gutted he's pulled through.
Yeah, hope it recurs.
Do you not send those on, Danny, or do we just not get any?
We've not had one yet.
Fucking hell, how drowsy did he sound? Wake up, mate. Come
on, honey.
Still smashing his neck oils, dribbling neck oil down himself, watching the Thunderbolt with a semi on.
I'm running a pub and a podcast here. Two jobs
and he's doing neither.
Exactly. I bet he's laid there with, you know, people who used to put the ashtray on their belly and just like flick the ash into it. Sitting there on one of those inflatable armchairs. Anyway.
Anna.
She says, most box wines are shite, but are perfect for cooking with without being tempted to drink the rest of the bottle while cooking.
Oh, that's excellent.
So that's the top tip anyway. She's given us that.
That's excellent. Yeah, that's excellent.
So we're now into her actual point, which is amazing because her side point is fantastic. Main point incoming. There is, however, a great quality exception. Laithwaite's do a Cabbally wine box, which is lovely. I don't have any in at the moment because I took my last box of it to Glastonbury where it overheated and the bag burst all over the inside of my tent. Smell of warm red wine on a hangover for the whole festival had me feeling queasy just thinking about it.
Oh.
As long as you don't make the mistake of taking it camping, it is Chef's Kiss. Link below. So, John.
Price point on that?
Well, I'm going
to. Can you describe the wine to me again?
Okay, it's Cabbally. 3 litre wine box, 2022. I'm going to read you out. 3 litre. Okay, here we go.
3 litres.
We've got a 3 litre wine box in there. We've got a 3 litre situation over here,
Sarge.
That's
a fourth bottle in there, isn't it?
Sarge, you've got a 3 litre situation over here. Okay, I'm going to read you the review, then give me the price. We already know that it's 3 litre. We already know that Anna says this is not a box you would cook with. This much-loved red, with gold medal acclaim, is now presented in a wine box. The lighter packaging is better for the planet, while also keeping the Grenache-charged red fresher for longer.
No.
That answers another question. Turn the tap and out pours an abundance of spicy berry fruit. John, the moment is also almost upon us. I'm going to invite you to give me your price point on Lathwaite's for the Cabbally 3 litre wine box 2022.
Oh, I don't know if it's just because I've done blankety this week, but I'm feeling very Price is Right. And I'll be annoyed if I get this right and there isn't a sort of bonus round. But having learnt what I've learnt, we know it's a four bottler. I'm going to stick around the £10 benchmark. So I'm going to say around 40. And I know they don't discount much more than £2 or £3 because they offset the box against the prolonged freshness. I'm going to take a little bit more off. Mind you, it's Lathwaite's, isn't it? £36.99.
Oh my God. You are so close. It's £38.
Okay.
You did really, really well there. And you know what the crucial bit of working out I loved?
Mm-hmm.
It's Lathwaite's, isn't it? Because that was the crucial bit. That was where you, that was John, and we all heard it happen. That's where you went from a chancer to a professional. That's when your professional judgment, we heard the very moment of inception. And that was a beautiful thing to hear.
Welcome. Okay.
So thank you for that, Anna. That is great. Jeff has also been in touch.
No, he hasn't. Wow. He's been busy lately as well as Jeff. So thanks for that.
He says, a good one that would also make a good name for a horse is Porter 6 from Portugal. Our friends have a camper van and swear by the fact it won't smash in transit and tastes good when you get to your destination.
I love the number of these sort of reviews that are really nothing to do with the wine drinking experience. That's really what I'm asking about a box of wine. What I'm saying is I like to drink and I resent the time pressure of having to finish a bottle in 2 days. And the tips I've had so far is you can dribble a bit in your gravy so you feel like actually you're a chef, not an alcoholic. And this one is you can drive it around Europe and it's not going to roll off the counter and smash. That's exactly what I'm after. The wine itself, fine.
Let us know which one you buy. Let's get a nice photo of you with it.
Oh, yes. So that's all we've got time for this week, and we'll be back at the end of next week with another. Until that time, don't get up the cat.
If you've been affected by anything mentioned in today's show, please get in touch. hello@downthedog.com. And you can join us on another slice. If these episodes aren't long enough for you, we do get people getting in touch and we want more. Well, now your dreams can come true. For just £3 a month, you can get the Down the Dog lock-in. We get another couple of episodes a month, outtakes and much more. There's a brand new episode going up this very week. Go to anotherslice.com/downthedog. For the love of God and your own body, share, subscribe, leave a 5-star written review, and don't fuck your stoma. Made it sound too serious then, didn't it?
No, I loved that.